Okay, so I just wanted to do one point from Toldos. Interesting, from last week's parasha. This is the beginning of the parasha, Perchafe Pasachaf. You know, so the parasha says, so the parasha starts out, Ezos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holy Es Yitzchak. Okay? Okay, so then it says, from Ed Yitzchak, then it says, Vayitzchak ben Arbaim Shana Bekachtu Es Rivka. He was 40 when he married Rivka. Okay? Bekachtu Es Rivka Bas Besuel HaRami Mipadan Aram. Okay? Achos Lavan, sister of Lavan, HaRami, Lolisha, for wife, right? So Rashi says that Bas Besuel Mipadan Aram Achos Lavan. Pas says the daughter of Besuel from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan. Rashi says V'chi Adayin Lo Nechtav Shi Bas Besuel V'Achos Lavan Mipadan Aram. We already know this, right? Ela Lahagid Shifcha Shahaisa Bas, but to say her praise, okay, to show you her good high quality. Okay, Shahisa Bas Rasha, she was the daughter of Rasha, Achos Rasha, sister of Rasha, Umakoma Anshe Rasha. Okay, and then she came from a place where the people were Rishayim, V'lo Lamda Mimaseihem, and yet she didn't learn from their ways. So she followed the MS, she lived according to the correct Derech HaChaim, even though she was under the influence of all of these influential elements were negative, and yet she was not influenced by them. So it wants to show you her level, her this perfection, this good quality. Okay. Yeah.
Isn't she like also 3?
Well, that's Rashi, but okay. But yeah, that's not going to be too. It's not going to fit in too well with any of this. So, but that's you know, different. There are different farshim.
But Rashi was explaining. Rashi's explaining her not being influenced. And
right.
Rashi also says that she was 3.
Good right.
So how does that? Like,
how could she be influenced? Right.
You can't be influenced when you're 3 years old.
Well, so that really is that's
I don't know.
I mean,
3-year-olds.
What do you mean? Guide a 3-year-old to live their life based off of what his aura is, and that's what he's going to grow up to being to be. 3-year-old doesn't really have to say no. I'm okay. I'm good. I want another part.
Yeah, but
I don't
she didn't really grow up to actually even like. We're gonna see her growing up to.
So wouldn't you say 3-year-old would rather lean towards the direction of their parents and brother are going in?
I'm saying they can't lean either way.
Well, I can say that. She's grown up in a house
3.
With all of us.
Well, I mean,
it's like
hard.
She's a baby.
So what does it mean,
that
she lived in, she grew up in a Padan Aram, Anshe Rasha? I mean, a 3-year-old doesn't know anything about where their society, their environment. They may know about the parent, the brother. it's a difficult shot to say 3, because then what is the whole Sipur HaMaisa? They went and, that Eliezer went and they asked her, do you want to go? I mean, And what she was, he saw her with the what do you call it, with the water? I mean,
right.
Taking care of the sheep. I don't know. It's a hard upshot. So I don't know. I'm not, you know, but right. But I just want to in terms of the Rashi, right? That the Rashi saying that's why the psukim, that's why the pasuk. Repeats, goes over her lineage and her right the her environment, right, to show you her perfection. Okay, but the only question is: so then, why was Avram so anxious that Eliezer should go to this place to find a wife for Yitzchak? I mean, it's a place of Rishoyim.
Just like Avram.
What's that?
Avram grew up.
What's that?
Avram,
just like Avram grew up. Okay. But you're not. What's that? Yeah, he grew up there too, right? But what is the what was Avram so why was Avram so anxious that that he should only get a wife from there? Don't take a wife from the Canaanim. Only go to this place where there are Rishayim, the fathers of Russia, the brothers of Russia, and the whole town of Rishayim. That's where I want you to go. What kind of a what was the draw?
Well, I mean, just working with Avraham's friend, like Avraham, you know, grew up amongst Rishayim, right. And he found the truth in that in that setting.
Right.
So maybe he wanted Eliezer to find a girl from the same place. Maybe he could find a girl who also grew up in that setting and also found the truth from there. Because if you already, I mean, I guess it's not really strong, but like if you find someone who just like grew up in knowing the truth, then you're really not gonna like, I don't know, but you're not gonna really have like a strong,
I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of a you know, just a looking at it straight, if you want to find a person that will be a worthy person, do you specifically pick a Makom Rishayim? Let's go to this place on the earth where we know Rishayim are there, and let's look for a worthy person there. I mean, you'd say, I don't know, go to a place where they're not Rishayim. And Avram said, don't go to Canaan. Well, what are they in Canaan? If they're Rishayim, so you don't got to run to Paddan Aram. You have plenty of Rishayim right here. And if they're not Rishayim, so why not pick somebody from here? Yeah.
But you can say when you go to a place which is completely the opposite of what you want. I mean, odds are you're going to find someone who's worthy, right? Because there's just good people out there.
Right.
So that person's really going to stand out. Due to the fact that you have this one person who is like a Tom or a, you know, it's a person who's not living that, you know, their derech, and he's living finally the derech chai. So he's going to stand out. You'll be able to pick him out. But if you just go to a place where everyone's kind of just, you know, the people.
Right.
No one's going to stand out to you. No one's going to be that person that's going to,
okay. I mean, but no. would you recommend this as a course of action?
Yes.
You would.
Yes.
Well, let me say that. For
it doesn't matter.
Who's there? You know. Okay. So, well, yes.
Is there any reason to think that there are more Rishayim there than anywhere else, or is it everywhere is pretty much Rishayim?
Okay. So,
because if there are Rishayim everywhere, then this might be an environment that Avram is like familiar with, and his family is also familiar with, so it'd be easier to navigate and to find someone good there because they're familiar with their like cultural context.
Okay. But what would be wrong if he picked somebody from Canaan? I mean, he may have been familiar with Paddan Aram, but it was quite a few years he left, and now he certainly has familiarity. He has plenty of friends in Canaan. He has a whole he has people there. It's not like he doesn't.
Maybe the sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe like the legacy that Aram left behind. You know that he. He kind of made a statement, and then he left the environment. And then coming back, you can see what kind of influence it had on the people. You know, as you see here in this case, like, it did have an influence on someone in the sense that not every individual takes for granted that the way that everyone is living is the correct way to live. But Avram started that trend of questioning the practices in that environment.
In Paddan Aram.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. What? So say that again.
So if we assume that all places are basically Rishayim.
Yeah.
But Avram, when he left that environment, he left some sort of legacy there, of someone who's, you know, an iconoclast who destroys their symbols, their cultural idolatrous symbols. And that could provide the opportunity for someone else to also question the practices of their environment. And therefore, it'd be more likely than anywhere else to have someone who can see MS or whatever it is.
Okay, good, yeah.
Perhaps it says something about the personality of someone who is immersed in a culture of Vodazara, bad traits, but is able to take themselves and remove themselves from it, and then go ahead towards the good.
Yes.
That, you know, that's the greatest character trait. You know, instead of going and looking in a good place, now everybody's good here. You don't really know how that same person would respond in a bad place. You don't know their true traits. You just know they're doing like everybody else. But if you find someone in a place where they're bad, then you know that person specifically removed themselves of bad and went towards the good.
Right.
Well, wouldn't it be better than have a guy that was never influenced by the bad at all?
Yeah, but this is, you're finding a person who had bad influence, but took themselves and removed themselves from it. So they recognized the bad and they turned themselves towards the good.
Yeah, but that person experienced the bad. Here you have a person who then never experienced the bad.
Yeah, they experienced the bad and that was good. They saw that it was bad.
But now you have a guy who never experienced the bad.
Isn't that better than by experience, though?
I'm sorry?
They experienced it, and they removed themselves.
No.
From it.
But now take another guy. Phone place where there's no reception.
I should move the phone closer to me.
That guy never experienced.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hello?
Who's it? Is it Adam? Adam?
Okay, but
yeah,
that doesn't
Jake
say
man.
Anything.
Jakey
man?
Oh.
That
Jakey, you're here?
Why, who said that?
Because
I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know you were there. How you doing?
In a bad situation.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just go over the question. So the question was like this, that in the beginning of Toldos, the second pasuk, it says that Yitzchak took Rivka, Bas Basul HaRami Mipadan Aram, Achos Lavan HaRami Lolisha. He married Rivka, who was from Paran Aram, the daughter of Basuel, and the sister of Lavan. Right. So Rashi says, why is it going over to identify Rivka by her father, her brother, and her birthplace? We know all of those things. We already know her family history, and we know the place she was from. So why does the pasuk have to mention those things? Okay, as if we never heard of her. Okay? We know the whole Sipur HaMaisa in the previous parsha. So we know all of these factors. So Rashi says the reason why he goes over it is to show you Rivka's perfection, her good quality, that even though she was under the influence of these different Rishayim, the Makam was a Makam Rasha, the father was a Rasha, the brother was a Rasha, yet she remained a tzedekes. Okay, so she wasn't influenced by that. So that's a great quality. It wants to show you that about Rivka. Okay? So very nice. It's a good shot. But the only thing is, we're asking, okay, if that's the case, everybody there was a Rasha, why was Avram so anxious that Eliezer should only go there to pick a wife? Don't pick a wife for Yitzchak from Benos Canaan. Ah! Chas v'shalom. Go to this place as if this is a place of righteous people, right? No, go to this place where they're real Rishayim. I mean, if you're looking for Rishayim, so what do you have in Canaan? Is Canaan, do you have Rishayim there? So why do you have to run all the way to Paran Aram? You got Rishayim right in your backyard. Pick the people from here. And if the people are here from here are not Rishayim, if Benos Canaan are not Rishayim, if they're Tzadikim, so why would you go to a place where you have Rishayim? If you have a place where you have Tzadikim, obviously, where are you going to look for a worthy person? You're going to run to the worst possible environment? You pick you go to a place where people are civil, where they're nice people, and you pick an Isha from there. I mean, that would seem to be the reasonable course of action for a reasonable person. So the question is, the assumption seems to be no. When you read the previous parasha, the assumption seems to be that Avram told Eliezer, I don't want you to look from Bnos Canaan because they're Rishayim, they're Ovdi Avodah Zarah, whatever. And I don't want to have a woman from here. But go to this place. And the assumption is that this place, Paran Aram, is a worthy place. There you're going to have the right type of a person. Okay? So what does this mean that they're all Rishayim? I mean, it doesn't seem, you know, you could say a lot of Peshatim, but the fact of the matter is, what would a reasonable person do? Just a straight-minded person is going to say, I'm not going to go to a place for Rishayim to find an Isha. That doesn't seem to make too much sense. Okay? So the question is, why? I mean, if you have Rishayim, the assumption is that in Canaan, you don't have worthy people. Because if you had worthy people there, I mean, he's going to pick from somebody right in Canaan. Okay, so the assumption is that there's something superior about the people in Paran Aram. Okay, so the question is, what's the superiority of Paran Aram over Canaan? If Paran Aram is Rishayim, why are they any better than the Rishayim in Canaan? Yeah. You got it, Jakey?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah.
I just figured because they're family, so he knew, even that, look, they're Rishayim there, but at least I know someone of my ilk is there, and therefore, then, you know, there's a better chance of being,
Okay, so, I mean,
if they're all Rishayim everywhere, then at least maybe this one
brought. I mean, family, so a person could be, you know, could be partial to his family. He wants to have somebody from his family, okay? But that's a partiality. That's not really a logical point, because you want to pick, if you just simply, you don't know who, you have no way of deciding. I mean, that wasn't the situation. Avram was giving an intelligent course of action. This is the place to go. There is something good there. Doesn't necessarily mean he was going to find it from his family. He didn't instruct him, you must pick somebody from my family. Otherwise, what was the whole Eliezer's test? He just knows, go to this family and get somebody. I mean, what's the test? You know what I mean? So he wasn't necessarily instructing him, you must have somebody from my family, but he sent him to this area. Okay? Yeah. You know, we got in other words, the question is, we can explain this in a lot of ways, right? But can we explain it in a way that is just according to using normal rationality? In other words, we're trying to understand, did Avraham have a rational basis other than Nevuah or some other means? Did he have just a rational understanding that would lead him to say, go to this area? Okay? Given the fact that Rashi is saying they're Rishayim, and we're saying, well, obviously, why would I choose these Rishayim over the neighboring Rishayim, over the Rishayim that he has right near him? Why go to a different Makom Rishayim when you have a Makom Rishayim here? If you tell me there's no, everybody, any place you're going to pick, the societies that were everywhere were Rishayim, okay? But then there's no reason to run there. Yeah.
Avram was already told that his children were going to inherit the land, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean they're going to kick out the Canaan?
Okay.
So wouldn't that say that if Avram took a person from Canaan?
Okay, but I'm just saying, all of this, that would be an extraneous reason. So he has an extraneous reason, but there's an inherent, in other words, what?
Why is it extraneous?
It's extraneous because, look, if I'm looking for a person to that my son should marry, so what am I looking for? What should guide me?
Inherent with him.
What's that?
Someone who can inherit with him.
Inherent with him? Could inherit with him? Is that what you would say if you want to find a wife? You have to look for qualities that make the person a good person. That's the primary thing. You want a wife that is a good person. that will have the true values. That's what you look for. You're not looking for a wife. If I want to look for a wife, and I know I'm going to inherit something, what am I going to say? Well, let me look for a wife that will be able to inherit that thing. Looking for a wife has to be a... You see, each thing that a person, each goal has to be a goal on its own. I can't mix goals. There's a goal to inherit the land, true. But right now I'm involved in a different goal. I'm involved in a goal of finding a wife.
But wouldn't you say so?
Now, how can I mix
the land has the ability, has all those qualities? Because they have ability. They are someone who has the ability to inherit the land. So meaning they're consistent.
If you are looking for a wife, your goal is to find an individual that will have the true value system. That's the only thing you are looking for. A person that's compatible to yourself, obviously, but somebody that has the true value system, correct mitos. The person is that you are looking for somebody that has good qualities as a person. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for a person that does not have defects, that has a certain shlemus as much as possible. That is what a person is looking for. If my goal is to find a wife, then my goal is, as a primary factor, the goal is to find a person that is as perfected as possible, has the correct and proper makeup. That's the goal. You see, the goal of inheriting a land is a totally extraneous goal. You can't mix that goal with finding the wife. Okay, so finding a wife, Avram's primary goal was, let us find somebody that is suited for this person. Right? So, that's my goal. And what did Eliezer do? That's the test that Eliezer set up. Well, let's see if the person has chesed. Chesed is a mark of perfection, and we want to find a person that has at least the capacity and the ability to be perfected. So let's see if they have chesed. He's not looking for extraneous factors. He's looking for one factor. We have to find the quality in the person that will identify this person as somebody that's proper to marry. So let's see chesed. That's a rational thing. Eliezer went with a rational plan. Let's test the person's mitos. That's it. Okay? So that's what he used. And that's a rational thing. Yeah. Who's there?
Oh, yeah, Rabbi, my buddy. It's Jake. I think I have an understanding of what basically happened. I think basically, aside from Nivu, I think Avram really caught on to, either Avram or someone caught on to the idea that perhaps the value system of Canaan was not a value system he wanted Yaakov to be a part of, because it wasn't something that, it's very possible he was afraid that Yaakov would become someone of a different value. Meaning, it's very possible, even though they both were shining on two sides, part of them around probably, or assumingly, has still true to their value and their being different or bad, there's still something there. I think that's what they're picking up on. Just an assumption.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you have a good approach. See, what Jakey's saying is that we have to look, is a Russia a Russia a Russia? Is every Russia identical? You see, a person could be a Russia and it doesn't make him equivalent to any other Russia. There are types of Rishayim. You see, it doesn't mean because in Padan Aram there are Russia, doesn't mean it's the same kind of Rishis as Canaan. In other words, we have to differentiate between two types of Rishis. Right? Because our question was, if everybody's Rishayim, what are you running there? So obviously, the type of Rishis they had was of a different type than you have in Canaan. Okay? Not every person that's off the track, not every evil person is the same. You see? So that's what we have to differentiate.
You're saying it's a quantitative difference?
No. Not a quantitative difference. No. Qualitative, yeah.
But they're both steeped in falsehood. So one is more than the other. Isn't that what we're saying?
That's right. If a person's a Rasha, it means he has a false value system. So that means he's attached to falsehood. So how could there be a difference? So what's the difference? What falsehood I'm attached to? Right? That's your question. I mean, falsehood is falsehood. This guy's things has this falsehood. I have this falsehood. What's the difference? That's what we have to answer.
Just like a separate question.
Yes.
Why are we saying that everyone is a Russian now? Like, how do we get that? How did we make that step? How do we say that we're assuming that everyone's Russian?
Well, because we're saying that Avraham sent Eliezer to go find a wife from this land, right, from Paddan Aram. But don't take anybody from Canaan.
Okay.
Now, why not take anybody from Canaan? Because they're tzaddikim? Well, obviously, it would seem that he said this is not a place that's proper to find a woman. The environment is bad, and the people here are lacking something.
What about, like, Shem Be'Aver?
What about Shem Be'Aver? Didn't they have? But
they didn't have a girl.
What's that?
Okay, oh my God.
Yeah, what about Shem Be'Aver? Right.
They were not Rishon.
They were not Rishon, right. We're not saying that every person there was a Russia. But apparently it would seem that there was something wrong with the society. Shem Be'Aver didn't represent the society. They were Yechidim, right? But the Canaanim, as a culture, apparently had something lacking. Had some, what are there, as Avodah Zarah, they were over the Avodah Zarah, right?
Okay.
The society as a whole was deficient. Okay, because if the society as a whole was tzaddikim, so it doesn't make any sense at all. Don't get away from these tzaddikim.
Even though Avraham might have known that they were tzaddikim.
There were tzaddikim, yes. There were individual tzaddikim.
So, but Avraham didn't know that there were tzaddikim in Paddan Aram.
He didn't know.
So why would he? Okay.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. The only thing. What's that?
So why wouldn't he go?
So that's the question. In other words, if we're assuming, our assumption is that the Canaanim were of the Avodah Zarah, right? It was Avodah Zarah was prevalent in the entire area, and we're assuming. In other words, what we're saying is that the assumption is that he'd sent Eliezer over there because they had some quality which made them superior to the people over here. Okay? So if those people are Rishayim, what is the quality that makes them superior? Okay?
Don't we have to posit that has something to do with Avraham? Otherwise, it's the same place, it's the same as anywhere else.
Why does it have something to do with Avraham?
Well, because, I mean, what else would make it different? Like, do we have any indication in Torah that place is different than anywhere else?
Well, the question is, that's what we're asking. In other words, are there different types of Rishayim? In other words, is it fair to say that if in Canaan they had a false value system, and that's why he didn't want the Eliezer to go there, is it fair to say that a false value system... all false value systems are equal. In other words, he didn't want Canaan because they have false value system. But he went to Paddan Aram, which also had a false value system. So what's the superiority of one false value system over the other?
Right.
We're saying that Aram had an intimate knowledge with the Canaanim and
what's
that they were less or they were more Russia?
It would seem he had knowledge, enough knowledge to tell Eliezer, in other words, we're assuming that when Avraham and when the Torah records what Avraham's decisions are not just based on a superficial analysis. When he makes a decision, it's based on solid knowledge. He had some knowledge. So he had the knowledge of the value system of Canaan. And he told Eliezer, make sure do not take a Isha for Yitzchak from Canaan. So, obviously, if he's saying that, it's not just a bias that he has, it is based on a certain idea, concept. And he had knowledge of their value system. Yeah.
But can't, why can't it just be that because Avram went through the labor of uprooting whatever falsities was in that society, he's familiar with this, so therefore he can do it with whatever woman he finds for his son. Like,
mean,
it's a matter of being familiar with that brand of rishas so that he can actually deal with it or recognize it, as
so
opposed to going somewhere where he can't recognize it and then...
Right, so why couldn't he take somebody from Canaan?
Because he's not intimately familiar. He didn't uproot himself from that falsehood. He uprooted himself from a different falsehood.
No, he has knowledge of Canaan. He knows. He lives there. Avram was a Chacham Gadol. He investigated every area of knowledge. He was on the highest level of knowledge. So he was not ignorant of the rishus of Canaan. He was very he had the ultimate in knowledge of what their system of rishus was and why it's a false value system. That was Avram's whole thing in life, was showing a person the falsity of the society and showing him the true ideas. And he convinced large numbers of people. You can't convince people of the truth if you can't show them that what they're doing is crazy. You see, so he had complete knowledge of every society and how they are mistaken. That's how he was able to uproot himself. Because he was able to investigate and have full knowledge of exactly the stupidity of the Avodah Zarah. So when he went to Canaan and he saw how they're functioning, you can be sure he knew exactly what the nature of their Avodah Zarah was, what the nature of their ideas were, and he had complete knowledge of how to show them that the ideas are totally crazy.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what about a different approach? Like, what about because where he came from, because they knew of Avraham and maybe Avraham's experience there created a doubt in people's minds as to that their life is like the quest that, or their like putting a doubt in their falsehood, which increases the potential for someone to recognize MS and then.
But where he was living, he was also influential. He was also showing people the true ideas.
In Canaan,
he was. He didn't all of a sudden stop. He didn't just go into his tent. He was constantly. He was a person. He was the main philosopher that people would come to see the true ideas. And that was the whole thing. When he had his tent, when people would come by, he would invite them in. That was his life work, to show people the falsehood of their ideas and show them the true idea of God. That was his entire thing in Canaan. So he certainly could have convinced people, shown people the truth there just as much. They knew him about him in Canaan, believe me. On the contrary, he had to run away. He had to run away originally from his original makkah. So he constantly had to leave, and they didn't want him there because if they saw what he was.
So even more so, if a woman wants to marry into his family, she must really want MS.
What's that?
So if a woman wants to marry into someone who's despised by everyone else, maybe you can say she wants to pursue truth even more so.
Okay, but let's try to get something that is not speculation, that we can say, yeah, you know what I mean, that we can show from. Just from the facts themselves. In other words, like Jakey's approach. Is every Rasha equivalent? Is there types of Rashaim? Yeah.
So, I guess, maybe there's a difference between a Rasha who has... I mean, I don't know. The Lavan and Besuel and his family, like, with the Avodah Zarah, I mean, if they were in Canaan, it seems like we have to know more facts in order to answer this question, because we don't know like what kind of Rasham Canaan or I don't know. Like,
okay.
So how do we
make a
distinction if we don't even know?
Right, I understand. Right, did you want to ask something?
Well, I was going to say something similar. I'm just trying to, like, we just have to evaluate now just Rishas, like, as a...
Well, okay, you're right. I mean, it's sort of a broad type of thing.
I mean, we could speculate different types of Rashan. Like, maybe there's a Rasha who just steals all the time, and there's a Russia who's over there with a Zara, and maybe you can say that
right,
the person steals a little less of a Russia.
I understand.
I just don't know what they're dealing with.
But, okay, so you get it.
So the only thing that I can see in those things is that they were known as, that they had Aram, that they were Aramim or something, that they were, which is a certain type of, like,
Trickery.
That's good.
Had a knowledge. They were, like, at least they were logical. And they were,
where does it say? Where does it say in the Aramim?
Rashi, that you showed. Think that you were.
Go ahead.
Pointing us to. No?
Yeah.
I lost it. I don't know where it is.
In Rashi?
Was the Russian Basil had an Aram Achaslavan?
I didn't see that there. The next one, Al Shem Shnei Aram, Hayu Aram, Narayim, Varam, Tzava, Koros, Paran, Washan, Sam, and Becker, Targum, Viyesh, Pesim, Paran, Aram, Kamos, Sde, Aram, Shabalash, Yishmael, Karn, Sde, Paran. Well, I don't see it. Were they were tricky?
Or was that in the Rosh by Eliezer?
I don't know.
You just saw it?
I just was flipping around between different Rosh. I don't know. Well, I thought that's how we know. I don't know where I was.
Okay. But that's the one thing we know, right, about Lavan, that he was a very shrewd person, he was a tricky person, and he used his chachma to guide his life, right? He was a person that wasn't just a Baal Taiva, right? What's that?
Was not?
Lavan?
Isn't Rashi describing what's about to happen? I mean, he came out because he saw he had a lot of horses.
The money. He was a shrewd businessman. You see, he was a shrewd businessman, and he knew when Yaakov went to him, he knew how to maneuver. He was a very shrewd. That was his whole thing. That Yaakov saw is going to be very difficult to maneuver against this guy. He's a very tricky guy. He switched my wages so many times. He was a very shrewd businessman. That was his thing, you see? And the thing is like this. So the thing is that why was he a Rasha? If he used his intelligence and he used his mind to operate, why did we call him a Rasha?
Because he used it for that reason.
Because he used the intelligence for the wrong purpose. In other words, the Rishus means where a person has a false value system, a false idea. What was Lavan's false idea? That he misvalued the good. To him, the good was money, success, beating out the other guy, fame, acceptance, social acceptance, you see? But he used his intelligence to pursue those goals. You see, the only thing is, a person can be a Rasha even if he values using his mind. Because if he establishes false goals, that's a Rasha also. Because that means that he's mistaken about what the good is for man. So his ideas are false when it comes to in terms of the goals. In terms of the goal of life, the whole goal of life, he made a mistake. You see? So that means everything he did was to pursue an imaginary goal. As if this is going to be the greatest thing. If I establish this thing, if I get a lot of money, if I get power, that will give me great happiness. It's a false objective. You see? So his Russia doesn't necessarily... You see, when we say Russia, it doesn't mean he got evil. Like, we look at like a horrible person. A Russia just means that his knowledge is false. Okay, his goals, his value system is false. So therefore, everything he does is to pursue that. But he uses intelligence. You see, that's one kind of a Russia. Okay,
but they were also of the Avodah Zarah, though.
That's correct. Yes.
He's saying between two of the Avodah Zarah, which one should I choose for my son? Oh, the one that's also adding some chachma to them.
But I'm just saying, there's another type. You can have another type of a Rasha.
Wait, so... Yeah. So I just want to, like, compare and contrast the two Rashaim here. So one Rasha has Abdi with a Zara?
No, I'm not saying one Rasha has Abdi with a Zara. Right. I'm saying one Rasha is a person whose mistake in life is in terms of the goals in life. In terms of the purpose of life. What is the good? That's his mistake. But in terms of how to achieve the good, he makes no mistake. He knows you must use your intelligence in whatever you want to achieve. You see? So in terms of the means, he's not a Rasha, because there he's right. A person wants to be successful, he has to use intelligence. That's the most important thing. You see? But in terms of the end, the goal, he's a Rasha, because he's lacking, he made a mistake when it comes to the goal. Okay? That's one type of Rasha. But the other type of Rasha is a person that doesn't even have the means. You see, his mistake is in terms of the means. He says that the best way of life is just following your emotions. Following your emotions. You don't have to use your mind. You just wake up in the morning and whatever, you know, whatever you can get for that day, whatever you can enjoy, it's just follow the enjoyments, whatever the emotions at the time appeal to you, that's what you go after. That's like a Rasha on a base level. A person that just, you know, he works enough time to get enough money and comes home and drinks. Right? He has his weekend to escape from a reality. He's basically a Rasha that escapes from a reality. You see, that just wants to have the immediate instincts and uses the mind only what's minimally necessary. But basically, his enjoyment in life is just having the immediate pleasures. That's a Rasha that's making a mistake about the very basic way that a person has to function. You see, he's just basically following the taifas, the pleasures. You see? So there's two types of Rishayim, really. You see? So therefore, these are not equivalent. You see, there's no equivalence there. They're both Rishayim, but in two different areas. See? So the question is like this. When Avraham wanted to go to an area to pick a wife, which type of Russia, okay, do you look for? In other words, if you have two corrupt societies, which society has greater potential? Okay.
Just one person,
so, what's that?
Aren't we just analyzing this one person?
Well, but we have to. We can't do that. I mean, we didn't know. Avram doesn't know who he's going to pick, but apparently it's reflective of the society. You see, that's what Avram was able to ascertain, that it's a culture that lends itself more to just the instinctual. And he said that type of rishis has no potential. You see, whereas the rishis of a society that may have the false goals, but knows that you have to use your intelligence as a means, you see, that society has a potential. Why? Because if you show the person the right goals, he's got the tools to pursue it. You see? So in that society, you have something to work with. There's a potential there. That type of Russia, there's a potential. But the Russia that simply does not use his mind, there's no potential. There's no potential. Nothing to talk to. The person just follows his instincts. So what do you have to work with? Yeah.
Well, one, it was too hard when I was Ari's question. But where do you see that in Canaan, that they were solely instinctual?
What's that?
Where do we see that, I guess, that Canaan?
On the contrary, we see that there were people that were tzaddikim.
What's that?
We know that there were tzaddikim also in Canaan. Why is that not reflective of the...
I don't know. In other words, I don't know how Avraham arrived at this understanding.
I guess my question is, in regarding to, I guess, the method of how do you make that distinction? I mean, we only see one side of Rishayim in regards to...
Right. Well, we see that the person that ultimately that was chosen, you see, is a family that used their intelligence. You see, used their intelligence, but they were Rishayim insofar as their goals were concerned.
And meaning to say, Canaan never didn't, there was no one like that.
I don't say there's nobody like that. I'm just saying that seemed to be the factor that is operative here. Because you could ask, if the man's a Rashi, that was our original question. In other words, I don't know what it was like in Canaan. Okay, obviously we don't have, there's no information here. But that was just our original question. Our original question was, what if the person's a Rasha, what difference does it make? A Rasha is a Rasha. So Lavan was a Rasha, so why is that Rasha any better than another Rasha? Okay? But now we're just showing, I mean, we're showing a possibility, but we're showing that that's not true. You see, one Russia is better than another Russia. Okay? Because a Russia that uses... Because why was he a Russia? That's the question. I mean, if the man used his intelligence, he was a shrewd businessman, why is he such a Russia? Okay? So, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is that Rishus is a different type of Rishus. Okay? Now, was Canaan the other type of Rishus? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, based on what the person that was... that she, the family that she came from, it was a different kind of rishus. You see?
Right. Well, I didn't understand. It seems like if that type of rishus, you know, in most cases would actually be worse. I mean, if
yeah,
you could,
why?
if you're ultimately seeking the wrong goals, and you have chachma,
yeah,
then that's dangerous. I mean, because if you can utilize that chachma,
right,
to,
that's right,
to carry out a lot more of that rishus.
That's right. That's right.
So
exactly.
It seems like if you're looking, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say if you're looking for somebody what you would be looking for exactly. But that to me could, in most cases. Generally, is like I would say, like definitely for like a society at large, like that seems like a much more dangerous society to have.
That's right.
But also I think
it's much more dangerous, but it is a society that has the potential to go the other way. You see, a person that uses his chachma, you're right, he's much more dangerous, but he also has much greater potential. You see, because he uses his chachma. So if you could show him the truth, he would have much greater potential. Whereas a person that does not use their chachma, just follows the emotions, you're right, they can't do too much harm. They're not very dangerous. But the flip side of that is, there's not much potential there. You see, a person that doesn't use his chachma, he's not dangerous because he can't get anywhere. He can't really accomplish too much without the chachma. So he can't accomplish evil. But the reverse is, just like he can't accomplish evil, the amount of good he could accomplish is also limited. You see? So a Russia like that, it's true, he has a tremendous danger, but he also has the potential for tremendous good. You see, whereas a Russia that simply doesn't follow his mind at all, you're right, it's not too dangerous, but he's not a person that there's a lot of potential.
It makes a lot of sense, because there's definitely like cultures that encourage like thinking a lot more than others, whether or not they're geared towards like the
that's
correct
right
end. Like,
that's right.
Like Indians are known for rote learning, which is just like, you know, just the bare minimum, whatever it takes to get a function done. But if you like come to like the West,
that's
a lot different.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So
it's cultural.
That's correct. That is correct. Whereas if you have a society that's geared to chachma, you're right. If they have the wrong value system, it's very bad. But they have the potential. The potential is there. So I would say it's a possibility. I mean, I'm not saying that definitely that this is what was the factor, but based on the information we have, you see, it would seem that this is a very good possibility. You see, why he chose one rishus over the other, in this area, at least you had chachamah. You see, at least you had love on his family. Apparently, they represented a certain segment of the society. You see? And that's what he was really looking for. That type of rishus. You see? Of course, if there were tzaddikim, he would rather have a tzaddik. Then you have the person with the right thought. But apparently it wasn't available. If that were available, it doesn't make any sense. Okay? Yeah.
I have a theory on that, though.
Yes.
I'm thinking of another possible approach.
Good.
And that is, well, before I do that, I wanted to give an example of an idea for Russia. We talk about it on Pesach, about the four sons. right? We talk about each and every one, and we go through what they were. Now, what I was always discussing with my dad was that the Russia, even though he was so evil, he was still smart. He wasn't an idiot. He was still smart, and he was intelligent, and able to still use his intelligence to do the things that he does. So that would be my example of what your point is about the Russia. That would be one thing.
That's right.
And I have a theory about even, I mean, this is just like some sort of thought I put together was perhaps it's very possible that Avram even recognized something even bigger, a bigger picture. And I think it was that even if the tzaddikim were available, I think there's a possibility that maybe we would think that it's great to be with tzaddikim, but what if being a tzaddikim would have changed the course of how Yaakov was himself? Meaning, tzaddikim were, you know, obviously they're very great people, but I feel like there's a tendency for people like that to have some sort of sense of entitlement or the sense of like pride. And I think maybe Avram, even if that wasn't the case, it wasn't available, maybe Avram would have probably recognized that that's not something he would have wanted for his family. He wanted to have his son to grow up in a system and value something much bigger than that, where he could also value his good deeds and value all the things that he does, and always remember where he comes from. Now, if that was the case, I think by a tradition it would have been possible that Yaakov would have been shaped into someone else. So that my theory is that I think when Avram Aram, regardless, like with the intelligence, I think the fact is that he will stay true to his value of what he learned from Avram and from the family, from the system.
Okay.
I think that was what's unique about it.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, but I just want to go over one point. Explain one point to you. You see, the important thing here is not whether or not we could figure out what the environment in Canaan was like. You see, the important thing here is I just want to show you what the approach to the answer is. You see, to approach the answer, you have to look at the question. You see, and if you give an answer that doesn't emerge from the question, then you're bringing in, it could be true, but it's a pot shot, you see? So if you look at the question, you'll see this emerges from the question. Because the question was, why did he want them if they're Rishayim? Okay? We brought in, okay, he could have got Rishayim from Canaan. We brought in that in sort of as just to elaborate on the question. Why didn't he go to Canaan? Why didn't he go here? Why didn't he go there? They're all Rishayim. That's not the Iker. What the Iker question is, not why didn't he go to Canaan or why didn't he go here. Why was he running after these people if they're Rishayim? That's the question. Simple. Right? If the people are Rishayim, what's the draw? What in the Rishus was there must have been something in the Rishus that Avraham was looking for. Now what good is there in the Rishus? That's basically what we're asking. What good is there in the Rishus that Avraham wanted? If it's Rishus, it's Rishus. You see? You can see the answer emerges from the question because we're showing there is something good in Rishus. You have to show me to answer that question. You don't have to show me what it's like in Canaan. You don't have to show me what it's like here. You just have to show me one thing. What good quality is there in Rishus? Okay?
You don't even need to know about Lavan. Really.
We don't even have to know about Lavan. But Lavan, I mean, if Lavan was an ignoramus, then you have no support for what you're saying. But when you're looking for a good quality in... So basically, to answer the question, you're looking for a good quality in Rishus. Now you have a road to follow. Okay, now we could look at the facts. Okay, well, let's see. What family did she come from that Rashi's saying are such Rishayim? Lavan. Okay, is there anything good in Lavan in his Rishus that would be a positive? Well, yes. If you look at Lavan, you say, what's his salient quality? What's the most underemphasized quality that you see all through the Torah? Lavan HaArami. He was a tricky guy. That was his essence. That's the Torah says is his essence, his trickery. That's what made him into the person he was. Gave him his greatness and his fame. Was his trickery. So what is that? That means he used his chachma to gain his goals. So there you find that is a quality. And that is not something we're making up, because if you look at the Pesukim, you see that's his essence. That's what the Pasuk underscores every time, focuses. Lavan ha-rami, the tricky guy. That's the whole thing. You see, so you could see...
Do we have any indication that that reflects on society, though?
We don't have to. You see, we don't have to, because we have to find some good quality in Rishus. And what's the only good quality in Rishus? If the Rasha uses his intelligence.
But is that a
That's just an individual, though.
That quality doesn't seem like Rishus, though.
What's that?
That seems like maybe a good quality.
That is a good quality.
Is there a complete Rishus?
I'm saying, no, so that's what I'm saying.
Is the fact that is his goals? Isn't that his...
That's his Rishus, that's right. Well, right. So when it comes down, when you analyze it, you say, well, the other thing is a good, and this is a bad. But the point is... What's
Rishus
that?
Is like false.
Well, you can't find anything within Rishus. You can't find good within Rishus. I didn't mean in that sense. But I meant in the sense of a person who conducts himself with Rishus. Is there any redeeming element of that type of Rasha? And can we show that that's a type of Rasha, whereas another type of Rasha wouldn't have that? You see, now we've shown that there is a redeeming quality in a certain type of Rasha, a Rasha that uses his intellect. You see, and Lavan was such a Rasha, which means that there are two categories of Rishayim. You see, so we're showing that there is selectivity. Our question was, what is the basis of Avram's selectivity when it comes to Rishus? That's a Rasha. What do you care? You see? No, we're showing that there is an idea of selectivity when it comes to a Russia. What kind of a Russia? You see, if it's a Russia that uses intellect, he has potential.
But how can we... But we're not learning from Lavan that the society was that type of Russia, right? Because that's just an individual. We can't generalize from the individual to the general.
Well, in other words, that's what I'm saying. You see, what I'm saying is that over here, you're right. We can't approach it. We're not approaching it to do an investigation of the society. That's what I'm trying to say. We're approaching it from the aspect of our question. What must you say to answer the question? Now, once you must say that, you see, and you can see from Lavan that the man did use his intelligence, okay, then I'm not saying we can definitely deduce this, but it would seem that that's what Avram had in mind. I would say it's a reasonable conclusion to say that this is what Avram had in mind. Now, why... How he knew that this is that and apparently the society's reflected that aspect, because otherwise, I mean that's the point. He's choosing this area now. He didn't know that she's going to get Lavan, so he must have known that in that area there were people like him. Otherwise, why is he picking that area?
So it would make sense to say that he, because he came from there, he was familiar with their.
Even, whether he came from there or he didn't come from there, he knew the society. Maybe he didn't, even if he didn't come from there. In other words, that would be how he knew, because he came from there and he studied them. But he could have studied an area, a place, where he didn't come from.
Right.
If he had access to their people from there, then if there was a place that he had access to people from there and he saw, hey, this is a great place, he would have sent them there. But apparently, there was no other place. Yeah.
Could you say that in terms of methodology, like the way when we were asking the question of how was it that he went for a nation that was that were all Russias? So in terms of methodology, you say first you have to define what it is, what the ends is. So what is a Russia, and then what was the means that these people became Russia? Became bad people, became that they were involved in Rishus.
Right.
So there's the the ends and then the means. And when you define the ends and you define the means, then you could say, well, this is what they are. This is the ends in which they are.
That's right.
Now, if there's another element in the means, maybe the means is the actual. It could still be good.
That's right.
So
exactly.
That's in terms of methodology,
exactly.
Just emerge from how you're defining the thing itself.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So if you define rishas, if you define the bad, and then you say, okay, so how does a person come to the bad?
That's right.
Then you can say maybe over there that
that's
the
right.
way in which they came to the bad was is still a positive means. But
exactly. That's right. Exactly.
Like that
exactly. Too. That's right. That's right. So there. So I would say like this. I would say in terms of could we fully say what Avram? What can we say for sure? Do you know what I mean? What can we say for sure here? Because I think the part of the confusion maybe is maybe we're saying too much. Could we really be sure of these of what of our conclusion? So what conclusion can we be sure of? That's the question. So number one, we can be sure that there must be two types of Rishayim, right? Because Avraham said, pick from this group, okay? So therefore, there must be something in these Rishayim that is redeeming versus another Rasha. If there's an equivalence of Rishayim, there's no reason to send me to a particular spot. So we can be sure there are two types of Rishayim. That's number one. We can be sure that there is something in Rishus, in one type of Rishus, there is something that's redeeming. You see? And we can be sure that if a person uses Chachma in Rishus, that's a redeeming quality. You see? That much we can be sure of. Okay? And it would seem that that's what Avraham was looking for. Okay? More than that, you see, it's hard to say. Okay? More than that, it's hard to say. But that's what Avraham was looking for. He was looking for that type of person that would use his intelligence. Because that's a person that has potential. Okay? Now, how he knew that this is the place where you're going to find that person, that we can't say. I mean, we can't say. Okay, but we could say that's what he was looking for, and he felt that Canaan was not a good place to find it. Now, how he knew that, I don't know. How could we know? You see, but you can see just from analyzing our question, you can establish a lot. Okay, so you can ask, well, who says Lavan represents the whole society? Well, we can't know that. We can't know that. Okay? But that question is not going to remove our deductions, because our deductions, you have to say this. Right? Okay. Think about it. Think it over.
Why not like a specific? What about Chochmah? Do you think lends itself to this type of analysis as opposed to like a Mida per se? Like what I'm thinking is that it seems like when you guys are like all that. She just exhibited a quality of chesed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was demonstrating any form of super intelligence.
Oh, you mean why he chose chesed?
Right. So, I mean, are we saying that it's just like because this society valued Chachma, so that's why he said to go there? But when he was there, he was really looking for certain midas.
That's right. He was looking for certain midas. That's
Prophet
right.
Well, why wouldn't he be searching? Why wouldn't he be searching for what I'm looking for?
What's that?
I mean, wouldn't it seem like Eliezer would be more focused in on what Avram sent him for?
Well, what Avram sent him was a base. You see, a person that values intelligence, that's a base for everything else. If a person doesn't value any intelligence, there won't be chesed, there won't be any of these things. These qualities emerge in a higher level person. A person that's just involved in the base instincts, there's no such thing as chesed. He's not going to have chesed because he's just absorbed in his own instinctual ego. You see? So that's why Avram sent him there. Because this is a base. If you have a group that appreciates and appreciates the concept that you have to use your mind, then you have a potential. You see? So then, now look for the qualities that you need. Well, you need chesed. A person doesn't have chesed and just uses their mind. Okay, they have potential, but this is not the person you want because there's no actuality.
Or maybe chesed was a good trait in so far as that, like, here he knew he was already in a society that was used their minds, but
that's right.
But then you need to find someone that uses their mind, but in a way that's not revolving around themselves.
Selves, that's right. That's
so once
right.
He saw the quality of chesed,
that's right.
So then that's exactly what he knows he's in a society that they use intelligence, but
that's
now
right.
He's looking for someone that's
an individual that the intelligence
that
is not
was
just tied to
the perfect,
right. That's
perfect
right.
Trait in,
that's
in that society.
Right, not just tied to themselves. It has the idea that somebody else is important too. You see? So that you need that. But without the intelligence, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have anything. But right, you do need the meter where a person feels that somebody else is important too. So that's also a essential trait.
Like, it makes more sense for you to go after... that's also something that's more... It happens to be a good thing, but it's also a very attractive thing as well for the self. So it makes sense that...
What, the chachma?
Chachma,
yeah. That's
so
right.
It's one of those things where even though it could be rooted it really could be just an expression of like a negative midah.
That's right.
It really happens to be something that also could be used.
That's right, exactly.
Good. Like,
there's
very
right.
few things. Like
very
like
few
that.
Things, that's right. It could be used for the bad, but the good too. That's right. Exactly. So you wanted a person that it's used in the good. Go beyond the self. See something beyond your own dalaramos. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think being with the tzaddikim would have changed the course of any. I think the story would have been completely different in terms of who he was, in terms of who Yaakov would have been, and in terms of what we learned from him as well.
Right. 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 I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Very good, very good. Shkoyach.
Rabbi Marcus, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Should I continue to run the tape?
You don't have to.
I mean, is it relevant to what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So my question to you is that do you think that being with that if he actually was to find someone from Canaan, so do you think that altogether he would have himself would have also been really different, or do you think because Padam Aram and Canaan have a certain similarity of that being Rishon, that he could have been the same person or he could have come from the same thing?
When you say he, you mean Yitzchak?
Yes, sorry.
I don't. I have to say, I don't really. You know, I'm not sure that's the correct approach. In other words, I don't. I think at this point, our approach has to be what in Rivka, what would be the correct environment to find the wife Who is the wife? What are the qualities in the wife? That's who he's picking. The effect on Yitzchak is now a secondary thing. I don't think that we can get into that because that's conjecture. How would Yitzchak have been affected if you picked somebody from Canaan? I think that's a conjecture. I think the only thing we could say is, how would, what person, in other words, the only thing we could say is, what is the criteria to pick Rivka? What are the criteria that we have to follow? What road do we follow? What's the rational road to follow to find the wife? You see? So that's the only thing we can say. Now, if we say, well, we have to consider what effect it'll have on Yitzchak, that's, I don't see how we can really get into that. We have to find, Avram was concerned about one thing, not the effect on Yitzchak. I mean, ultimately, of course, Yitzchak, but he was focused on one thing, to find the right woman, to find a worthy person. That's it. You see? Now, if you could have a worthy person from Canaan, I don't know. I don't know how you could start. I don't know how you could approach it by saying, well, we can't have somebody from Canaan because of the effect on Yitzchak. I don't know. I mean, Yitzchak lived in Canaan. So I think the only real approach that we could have, the only approach that makes sense in terms of a rational approach to answer the question, is the direct approach. What are the criteria? Why is this place a better place to find a wife? You see?
Right.
And that we're showing. Because apparently, this is a place where he's going to find somebody who values Chachmah, even if they're Rishayim. You see? And now we're just limiting it to the qualities of the person. To go beyond the qualities of the person, I think, is conjecture. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I'm just saying that. I was just posing that as a question. I'm thinking it's not just about Yitzhak, though. I'm thinking it's about the future generation as well.
Right, but I'm just saying that you need...
Because of the situation, any decision that was made then would have definitely... would create the history or create the future generation, which is now. So that's what my question was. Kind of
right, but the only thing is, in my mind, how could a person make a decision based on the future? Doesn't he just have to make a decision based on the now?
Right. That makes sense.
Because the future events, I don't know. So how can I make a decision now? Well, I'm going to pick a certain job because in the future something might happen. I have to pick the right job for me right now. What is the right job for my... What job fulfills my potential right now? Now, 10 years from now, if something changes, I'll find a different job. But right now, what is the job that suits my needs, suits my potential, and suits my abilities? That's what I have to pick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think that also that Eliezer would have been afraid of what Rivka would have been like, regardless of her background and where she came from? Or was it that he was solely focused on who she was as a person and her qualities and, you know, the way she was?
That's right. He was solely concerned with that. Avram had limited him to this area because of Avram's cheshbon, and he was solely involved with picking the person based on their qualities. Exactly. That's right.
But even Eliezer himself also could have made a different decision too.
Well, no, Avram told him he has to go to Paddan Aram. He can't choose anybody from Canaan.
I'm saying even when he went to Paddan Aram, even if he didn't choose Rift, like he had the choice.
Oh, that's right.
To choose whoever he wanted.
It's funny how it said
to pick Rifka out of.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's no doubt. There's Hashkacha there, right? But he didn't necessarily know that. He simply went based on a logical test, and the hashkacha worked out, but that's outside of his control. He had to use what made sense to his mind as a logical test to find the person.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Hey, thank you, Marcus.
Okay. This was very nice. Shukar.
Always a good cheer, really. Always a good cheer.
Okay. Good to have you. Good to have you, Jake. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
You too. You too.
All right, thanks.
Okay, take care. Adam, are you there? Okay. All right. Okay, bye-bye. All right, this was nice. This is good, right? This is good. Let me just see. How do you turn this thing off? You press this.
You're approaching it again. That's a little methodology, right?